Syria is experiencing its fifth year of war, and the Western push along with its regional allies of ousting Assad from power has failed. Russia has increased its military support for Syria, but with the aim of upping the ante on killing the terrorists. In this edition of the debate, we'll cover Russia's role in the conflict, why the U.S. is against Russia's push to fight the terrorists, and whether the U.S. and its allies' fight against terrorism is a front to ultimately push Assad out of power.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is in Tajikistan. He's attended a meeting with members of the Collective Security Treaty Organization to discuss several regional issues. The crisis in Syria was one of the topics at the summit. Putin wasted no time to criticize the West for its double standards toward terrorist groups in Syria.
We must put aside geopolitical ambitions, abandon the so-called double standards, the policy of direct or indirect use of certain terrorist groups for opportunistic purposes, including changes of government and regimes disliked by someone.
The U.S. and its allies are angry over Russia's support for the Syrian government. Washington says it's concerned over Moscow's military buildup in Syria. Just last week, a Russian cargo plane carrying aid to Syria landed in the country's city of Latakia. But Putin says Russia will continue to back the country in its fight against terrorists.
I would like to say that we support the government of Syria in the confrontation against terrorist aggression, and we provide and will provide it with the necessary military and technical assistance, and we call other countries to join us.
Calls on Russia to stop its aid to Syria come despite frequent reports of direct U.S. involvement in the war-ravaged country. The U.S. and its regional Arab allies are one of the main financial and logistical supporters of the ISIL terrorists and other militant groups in Syria. The U.S. and Turkey have even agreed to train anti-Damascus militants and provide them with air cover. Analysts believe it's hypocritical for the U.S. to tell others not to get involved in Syria.
It is amazing how incoherent American policy is here. We say on the one hand we're opposed to the Islamic State, ISIL, whatever we call it, but we don't want to benefit Assad and we warn the Russians that's a bad idea.
Syria has turned into a haven for terrorists after a five-year conflict, thanks to Arab petrodollars and the military assistance of the U.S. and its allies. And it's widely believed that the crisis will not stop unless there's an end to the flow of money and militants into the war-torn country.
We recently had General David Petraeus calling for America to ally with al-Qaeda, if you can believe that, against ISIL. And this is just days after the 14th anniversary of the 9/11 attack.
Calls for a peaceful solution to end the crisis have so far fallen on deaf ears. But it seems the only viable option is to turn to diplomacy and dialogue with Damascus to stop further bloodshed there and its backlash that is felt, more than ever, beyond the Syrian border to as far as the borders of Europe.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. Author and Middle East expert Kevin Barrett joins us from Madison. We have political commentator Jihad Markata, who joins us from Beirut. Gentlemen, welcome. Jihad Markata. Lots of criticism leveled against Russia coming from the U.S. corner, especially. They're making allegations that Russia is on this spree of a military buildup and leveling the criticism in the respect that Russia is helping Assad. But what's left out of that equation is that the goal now, the elevated goal of Russia, along with the Syrian army, is to fight these terrorists, something in which the U.S. has not yet responded to in terms of a cooperation factor. Why is there such a big deal made, first of all, out of Russia's involvement in Syria?
First of all, I consider this is a major turning point in the Syrian conflict for a very simple reason. Russia is not providing weapons to Syria. Russia is building a base in Syria, a military base. And this military base, naturally, is not something that is part of a contract between Russia and Syria. It is a definite Russian move. On the other hand, NATO is already involved in Syria through American warplanes bombing Daesh. The reason the Russians intervened in such a way, in my opinion, is that they feel that the regime of President Bashar al-Assad, even with the help of Hezbollah and other allies, is not able to hold it anymore. So what they are trying to do is consolidate their position, their own position in Syria. They're not there to fight Daesh because I do not see Russian troops going underground to fight Daesh. If they are going to involve their military aircraft, they will have to coordinate with the existing operation. In that sense, they come a little bit too late. And they are not here to liberate Syria either or to give Syria to Bashar. So the reason I said it was a turning point is that the Syrian regime has become totally irrelevant to the equation. And therefore, it is Syria and Hezbollah and Iran calling the shots right now, and nothing to do with Bashar or the regime.
Well, Kevin Barrett, one thing that I couldn't understand from Jen Marcotta there is then what Russia is going to be doing there. Who are they going to be fighting if they're not going to be fighting the terrorists, if they're not going to be giving support for the government of Syria and their soldiers to fight the Daesh terrorists, something which Russia has been very vocal about?
Well, that's right. I guess I didn't fully understand the other guest's comments, or maybe they're as incoherent as they sounded, but clearly the Russians are helping the government of Syria, and the purpose is to try to stabilize the situation by sending that very strong message to the West, which has destabilized Syria in an attempt to overthrow its government in the same way that the West has tried to overthrow so many dozens of governments since World War II, with coups d'etat, with these destabilization operations that turn countries into basket cases where ultimately the West or the US, CIA, et cetera, can install a strongman dictator that will obey its will. Today, it seems that destabilization operations are sometimes less geared towards installing a US puppet dictator and more geared towards simply destroying the country, taking it out of the equation. And this is what's happened to all of the Middle Eastern countries, except Iran thus far, that oppose Israel. And this is a clue to what's really going on here. The September 11th attacks, which launched the destruction of all of these Middle Eastern countries, were essentially a Zionist coup d'etat in the United States, whose purpose was to take out seven countries in 5 years, as stated by General Wesley Clark. He got it straight from the neocons who had perpetrated the 9/11 attacks. So that's the larger picture here. The Russians have said, okay, enough is enough. You've utterly annihilated Iraq. It's now poisoned with depleted uranium. The intelligentsia has been assassinated by Mossad hit squads. It's been broken into pieces. The Kurdish north is essentially independent. It's a land of civil war and mass destruction. That country is gone. It'll never pose a threat to Israel. The same now has been done to Libya, which is another complete basket case. And the Russians, seeing this and having built up their strength, said, the buck stops here. You're not going to do the same thing to Syria that you did to Libya. The Russians are in Syria helping the government, trying to maintain stability and prevent Syria from being utterly and completely destroyed in the way that Libya was. It's very clear. So I don't know how this other guest is trying to say that the Syrian government isn't part of the equation. The Syrian government is what, that's what the Russians are supporting. And the end game is not necessarily to keep the current government in Syria exactly the same as it's been, but rather to set the stage for peaceful negotiations that will solve this problem rather than by all kinds of chaos and terrorism, but by negotiations and ultimately a return to peace and stability.
General Marcotta, a simple question for you. Which is more important, killing the Daesh terrorists in terms of a U.S. point of view or ousting Assad from power?
The Daesh issue is a long-term issue. It is not going to disappear overnight, and it is not an issue for Syria alone. It's an issue for Syria and Iraq and all the regional powers as well to take care of it. So I think, in my opinion, in order to have a strong force in Syria being able to defeat Daesh, you first of all have to have some kind of a coalition government or transitional government, as the Geneva I Accord called for in June 2012, some kind of agreement in Syria between the Syrians themselves, regime and opposition forces, and with the help of the Russians and the Americans, to first of all have a stable situation in Syria, excluding Daesh, then fight against Daesh.
Well, Kevin Barrett, it's very interesting. I'm looking at some of the headlines on this story, which has gone very viral in some respects. Is this one in particular, U.S. choosing to work with Al-Qaeda over Russia on the Syrian issue? And it goes on to say how insane that sounds, but that's one of the things that the U.S. has opted. Why does the U.S. not look at the bigger picture? Why does it conveniently choose not to look at the bigger picture when it comes to terrorists, when across the Atlantic from the U.S. you have this huge refugee crisis that's engulfing Europe, one of the reasons, a result of the refugees from Syria or the asylum seekers coming from Syria?
I think the U.S. isn't discussing the big picture openly and frankly.
Go ahead, Kevin Barrett.
Because it's the big picture, yes, the big picture is so evil, and you know, they're behind it. They're not going to tell the truth about what they're doing. Occasionally, a little bit of truth slips out, as when General Petraeus urged the U.S. to ally itself with Al-Qaeda, supposedly against ISIS, on the eve of the 9/11 anniversary. That was quite an amazing little public relations soundbite there. Let's make an alliance with Al-Qaeda right on the 9/11 anniversary. A lot of Americans are shaking their heads over that one. This notion that the U.S. is actually fighting ISIS is interesting, because certainly at some point ISIS or ISIL is becoming a Frankenstein's monster. If it hasn't already, it will. And at that point, it will have to be, you know, they'll try to put the toothpaste back into the tube or the genie back into the bottle. But it's not clear that we've reached that point yet, because, again, we're seeing all repeated attacks, verbal attacks at least, by the U.S. on the forces that are actually trying to fight ISIL. The Syrian government, the Iranian government, which was criticized on the State Department terror report as supporting terrorism for supporting Hezbollah and the Syrian government in their fight against ISIL. This was the crime for which Iran was condemned in the terror report, was fighting against ISIL. So it sounds incoherent, but it really isn't. If you look at the big picture,
you are
clearly,
forgetting about
what's
the Americans.
Really happened here is that the U.S. and its regional allies created ISIL. And ISIL is a tool of destabilization that may have already served its purpose to the point that they're ready to try and clean it back up. But they created ISIL just as they created the unrest in Syria. The Arab Spring, of course, that was building for a long time, but it wasn't a completely spontaneous thing. Once
Bashar
they got the crowds into the
ISIL.
Streets, NATO Operation Gladio Sniper started the chaos and created the current destabilization.
Bashar al-Assad created ISIL.
The apparent incoherence of American policy makes sense if you look and see what the actual geopolitical situation is.
John Mercado, go ahead.
No, I was saying that it's not the U.S. that created Daesh or ISIL, it's Bashar al-Assad. And in fact, Bashar al-Assad, actually, there is a very interesting report in Jane's Weekly, which is a major military magazine review, that shows how Bashar al-Assad and his regime and Daesh have been ignoring each other in terms of the number of strikes of the Syrian regime against Daesh as compared to the number of strikes of the Syrian regime against anti-Daesh forces like al-Nusra and everybody else. Of course, and I think what you're saying is propaganda as well, so we're clear on this one. The second point, which is also very interesting, is the fact that the Syrian government is nowhere near to establish control over Syria. In fact, if it was anywhere near establishing control over Syria, the Russians themselves have decided that the Syrian government is over and done with. This is why they have decided to establish bases. It took them 4 years to realize that. Hezbollah was there. There was help from outside forces as well. And they realized that the Syrian regime is gone. So now they're trying to consolidate their stance on the ground. The Americans, on the other hand, have been fighting Daesh. For 1 year now, they've been bombing Daesh forces, killing Daesh individuals, killing commanders and so on. But for some reason, people still say that America is helping Daesh. Now, if 1 year worth of bombardment is helping Daesh,
if the U.S. wanted to take out Daesh, it would be all over in 24 hours, sir.
John McCarty?
Sir, the U.S. decided no boots on the ground. And the Russians are not going to have boots on the ground either.
Well, this is the problem. Kevin Barrett, do you agree that the U.S., I should be asking John McCarty this. John McCarty, the U.S. has maintained through its coalition, and you talk about a coalition that some of them are NATO countries, such as Turkey. They're not able to get rid of the Daesh terrorists. On the other side, in Iraq, nor with the strikes that are going on now. Now, what's interesting is the increase, and I'd like to ask you about the increase of some of the Western countries' participation. And I'm talking in particular about the UK that has conducted airstrikes. We know Turkey is now officially doing it. You have the U.S. officially doing it. Israel comes in and out of the picture, and with France saying that there needs to be airstrikes done. And then Russia comes and does what it's doing. And now the U.S. is scrambling for an answer. Why would the U.S. be so concerned? And its coalition partners, is it because that it might stop the U.S. and its partners from giving some kind of power to these terrorists on the ground because they share one common goal, ousting Assad?
The U.S. has been very clear, France and the U.K. as well. They have two enemies, Daesh and the Syrian regime under Bashar al-Assad. And they are going to fight both with the same intention and with the same intent. The fact that the France and the UK have decided or are about to decide, France decided today in Parliament, that they're going to start their bombing of Daesh targets is extremely important in my opinion. It is a message to the Russians that it is NATO intervening and bombing already. Now, if you guys want to start bombing Daesh, you have to coordinate with NATO. And this is precisely what Mr. Lavrov, the Russian Foreign Secretary, already said. He said, I want to coordinate with the Americans. So in my opinion, they are going to coordinate to hit Daesh. The other chapter is a diplomatic solution. This is another issue.
So we've reached kind of two steps back here, Kevin Barrett, that there's going to be somewhat of a coordination then. Based on what General Marcotte said, between the U.S., possibly, and some of its allies, like France and U.K., maybe, with Russia, regarding at least killing this terrorist, do you really think that that is what the U.S. is ready to have Russia engaged in this conflict in this manner?
Well, that's not what they're signaling at all, quite the opposite. The U.S. is in full panic mode because Russia is helping the Assad government fight Daesh. That's the picture that we're getting from all of the government pronouncements here from the mainstream media. There's great outrage in the corridors of power in Washington that the Russians have the temerity, nay, the unmitigated audacity to go and try to fight Daesh. So they're very angry at Russia for fighting Daesh for this, and they were also very angry at Iran and Hezbollah for fighting Daesh. Why would Washington be so angry with the people who are actually fighting Daesh? Well, that's because Daesh is a tool of Washington. Washington created it to destabilize Syria, to ruin Syria, and to overthrow Assad and destroy a country that was not obeying orders and that was posing a threat to Israel, just as Iraq had under Saddam Hussein, just as Libya had under Colonel Gaddafi. It's the same thing all over again. And they don't want the Russians to put Daesh to bed and preserve the current government of Syria. I mean, it really is, it's fairly simple. I do hope that some kind of face-saving cooperation will emerge out of this. And it would be nice if the truth would come out. The American people are shaking their heads and rolling their eyeballs about all of this. You know, General Petraeus saying, let's make an alliance with Al-Qaeda. And, you know, why is the American government so angry that these different countries and entities are fighting Daesh? But I'm not that, I'm not really thinking that this is ever going to be admitted, the real policy is ever going to come out, because Western policy is consistently one of deception and duplicity. It has been since the end of the Cold War, since the West tried to establish a worldwide empire. And if the Russians are building a military base in Syria, which they deny, to help the Syrian government, and the Syrian government is on the same page with this, they're not protesting. So the guest's point, that his claim that this is not really in support of the Syrian government, is ludicrous. The Syrian government, if they didn't want it, they would say so. They want it. But one base in Syria, I mean, come on. The U.S.
is no Syrian government anymore.
At least 700, and by some counts, well over 1,000 bases all over the world, trying to build a global totalitarian empire.
Forget the Syrian government.
Russia, Iran, China, and other independent countries are trying to preserve a multilateral world against this attempt to build a one-world tyranny. That's the bottom line here. And every free-thinking person in the world, everyone who does not want to become a subject of global Orwellian tyranny, needs to stand up and support Russia, and support China, support Iran, and even, support the government in Syria, which is imperfect in a lot of ways.
There is no Syrian government. Nobody is supporting the Syrian government.
That's wrong.
The Russians, everybody has said
that we
need to have a transitional government.
Of Assad's unpopularity showed that Assad had more than 50% popularity among the Syrian people. So this whole notion that nobody supports
Assad has been disproven
by Al Jazeera polls.
Come on, be serious.
The very news outfit
you cannot talk about popularity of a dictator in a country which is at war. Go ask the people who have been bombed if he's popular or not. No, I mean,
well, sure you can.
There
when
is a limit.
Are at war,
there is a limit
a
to propaganda.
In the country rally
we
around
you
the
have
leaders,
to be serious
just
at some
as
point
many
in
of
time.
The Syrian people have
if you tell me that President Assad is popular, I tell you I'm also
Syria,
popular.
Plenty of people who've been in Damascus over the past 2 years.
Does not make any sense.
Population does support
I'm sorry,
President
does not make any sense.
And I'm
President Assad is gone. The Syrian government is gone. And that is why.
And this is Middle East expert Kevin Barrett there talking to us from Madison. Thank you. And political commentator Jared Morakadi, who spoke to us from Beirut. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mika Vitavoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.